Hi everyone. Welcome back to Woman's Splain. Today we have a very special episode with an amazing guest, Natalia Rojas. She is the CEO and co-founder of Two Fit Brands, a vegan and keto protein bar company. So hand it to her to introduce herself.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. So first of all, hi everyone. And yeah, I'm the co-founder of Two Fit. We have protein bars and bites, and we're actually working on some R&D. So hopefully soon we'll come out with other SKUs.
Awesome. And we have some products here.
Yes, they're so cute. They're so cute. Like very, I don't know. They're love like the wrapper. It's very aesthetic.
Bar. These are brownie bites. I'll definitely try them after.
Yeah, definitely. I like putting the brownie bites sometimes in the microwave for like 5 seconds so it melts. And then we've also done like different recipes, like come up with like waffles, put the bars in a waffle maker. We've made cereal. Wow. We've like played around a lot because like with my co-founder, who's my sister-in-law, we want to kind of change the game on like, okay, you have protein bars, you can throw it in your bag, but also like if you're at home and you want to spice things up with a recipe, like it's quick and easy.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's awesome. We love that. Yeah. And would love to just hear a little bit about what kind of brought you to founding this company. I think you were an athlete. And would love to just hear about kind of your career journey and what brought you to this.
Yeah, no. So I actually come from like a very entrepreneurial family.
Awesome.
So my parents, my mom actually, she had her own clothing store. We're Colombian. So like she had a store down there. Same with like my grandparents. And then kind of grew up going to different expos. My parents like have invested in different types of companies. Cool. And then I was a gymnast my whole life. Wow. So always in the gym, always like making sure I was eating correctly. And my co-founder, who's my sister-in-law, she is a certified personal trainer and studied nutrition.
Wow.
And ever since like we met when her and my brother were dating, we just kind of like always bonded over health and wellness. And so we started making bars at home. I was a gymnast. And also in college, I co-founded the club team at San Diego State.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of kept up with it. Okay. And like I still do sometimes. But her and I started making bars. And we're like, okay, we kind of have something. And like with her background with nutrition, it really helped curate like what we wanted the table, like the nutritional table to look like, what we were actually putting in and kind of like that whole R&D phase. And then during college, like when I was, towards the end of my college career, when we were doing all the R&D, I actually was involved in Greek life. And so with all the samples we were getting, we did a whole Google form. Nice. So then we got a bunch of feedback.
That's awesome.
And then we did different like groups of people to test out the product.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's great. I love hearing about your journey. I'm sure that your career in being an athlete definitely helped. What are some specific things that you wanted for Two Fit that you weren't finding in the market when you were starting it out?
So one of the biggest things is like transparency. Mm-hmm. I feel like for us, like whenever we're demoing or whenever we are having people try the product, it's like, yeah, look at the nutritional table, like read the like what we have, like making sure that people understand, and also educating people, right? Because I feel like it always comes down to that, and you pass that down generationally, right? So making sure that as we were creating a clean product, we also are doing that as a brand. So transparency and education is always like the foundation of something that we always wanted to implement.
Okay, I love that. And are you, I know obviously it looks like you have different options. Some are vegan, some are keto, if maybe some of them are both.
Yeah, all vegan. They're all vegan, they're all keto, and they're all certified gluten-free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think that's pretty rare for, I haven't seen a competitor that provides that.
No, it's like, that was also one of the focuses, because like we wanted to make sure we were being as inclusive as possible. But also, like, it's very hard to find, like, a vegan and keto product in the market.
Yeah.
So when people read that, they're like, wait, what? And so for us, it was, like, trying to be as inclusive. I always get the question, like, are you vegan or are you gluten-free? I'm not. But I'm a huge foodie. Like, I love trying out different things. I have a lot of friends who are vegan. And then I have a lot of friends who are gluten-free. So, like, it is kind of nice to be able to offer a product for different demographics, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. No, I love it. I mean, personally, I'm not vegan or keto either, but seeing it, I feel like I love that. I know also, especially gluten-free, people who are like celiac.
Yeah.
I feel like it opens up like having an option to have a bar for people who are like, who probably never had it before. And also, I'm sure, do you target athletes a lot as well? Do you think kind of these?
Yes. So right now we're nationwide with Lifetime.
Oh, wow.
And so I feel like the group fitness space is also really big for us.
Yeah.
And athletes, we worked with a couple college athletes. And that's something that we want to kind of work on more, and really targeting like different colleges. Mm-hmm. Like, again, like going back to how we started it, that was like essentially like the bread and butter of part of the story. Like that was my part. That's the era I was in during like when this was started. And then even just like talking to different people, it's like when you're going from class to class, or even like here in New York, you're always like running around. It's always nice to have something in your purse. And like, it's really funny because I always carry product with me and I know how many bars fit in certain purses. And so my friends know I always carry it. So sometimes they're like, Nat, like, can I have a bar? I'm starving. I'm like, yeah, for sure.
That's so awesome.
It's funny.
Yeah. And I guess how you said you started when you were in college. And so how did you kind of actually start the company, and then how are you growing it now? Mm-hmm.
So I majored in business management, minored in art, and so those were like my fun classes, but also like I've always had a passion for art. But I was kind of, as I was taking different classes like marketing and just like all these classes I was taking, I was essentially applying everything I was learning. Mm-hmm. And my co-founder and I did lean a lot on Google, a lot of research, obviously, cool. But like, and we kind of just were learning as we were going. Mm-hmm. Like, it was nice to have like different mentors and always surround yourself with different mentors. So I think it was just us kind of figuring it out and also not like working on not being afraid to ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like having questions for people, because I feel like it's so easy for you to kind of get in a mindset, or at least like for me personally, like you want to take everything on, you want to do all this stuff, and like everything has to look okay, everything has to be great. And it's like at the end of the day, it's just like get started and like things will happen.
Yeah, totally. And did you just start selling like in your dorm room and then like friends and family?
Well,
like,
when we launched right on our website.
Okay.
Great.
And then we started getting like Amazon, and then the pandemic hit, so we were like, okay, time to pivot. Like, no, we're not really focused on retailers, right? And so then we really focused on e-com. Mm-hmm. And then after the pandemic, when we started with Lifetime, it was like, okay, now we really got to hone in on like, okay, let's grow with them. And then now we're really focusing on getting more retailers on that end.
Do you have like a most popular product line or product people tend to buy?
So it's kind of crazy because like people tend to lean for like the chocolate peanut butter one, like the yellow one. Mm-hmm. But once people try the cashew butter one, the vanilla crunch, they're like very surprised. They're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this. This is really good.
Yeah.
So I would say it kind of, I don't know, it shifts, right? We actually came out with the brownies because when we were demoing at Lifetimes, a lot of parents were coming up to us and they were like, we love the product. We love how clean it is. And as a parent, it's great to be able to have a product I can give my kid and they like. But sometimes the bar is so big.
Yeah.
So they're eating half of it. So then Marcella and I were like, what if we just like came out with like bites? And so that's where the idea came from for bites. And so we wanted to do like chocolatey and making sure that it was still following the same like nutritionals that we wanted. And like we always stay away from like sugar, alcohols, palm oil, and just like try to keep it as clean as possible.
Wow. And how do you think of new product ideas and flavors, mostly from like talking to people?
Yeah, I think like surrounding yourself with founders for me personally has been really big. And I think I've been able to learn a lot and just like kind of understanding and like getting the product in front of people, right? Also asking them like, if you buy bars, which ones do you buy? What flavors are you looking for? And like kind of doing kind of like all those questions and asking people. And then also it's crazy because when we first were doing R&D on different products, We wanted to come out with like a cherry flavored bar.
Oh, interesting.
And we were like, okay, that'd be kind of cool, like vanilla cherry type vibe. And we were doing the R&D, and then the cherry flavor wasn't coming out. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we can't sell something and say it's cherry when it doesn't taste like cherry, right? So like, again, pivoting and like understanding that like there's going to be so many different hurdles that you're going to go through, and like what our priorities are as a company. So like, we wanted to focus on clean ingredients, making sure that the sugar count was between 1 to 2 grams, nothing more. And so with the cherry, if we wanted to kind of like increase the taste, we would have to increase the sugar. And we were like, I don't think we want to start like that. We don't want to. And also, like, we weren't comfortable releasing a product that didn't taste like what we were saying, which is like, this is the second version of the packaging. And we played around with like the actual ingredients and the bars itself, because we wanted to make sure like people were getting what they were actually getting, not like a different picture or something. Mm-hmm. So we've been playing around with like different things that align with like transparency and like education.
Totally. I'm sure as you also focus on retail, there may be like a shift as well. Yeah. Just because you're like, right now, I mean, your like brand attraction is via the website, right? Mm-hmm. And like via like that sort of advertising. And then going to retailers, it may be a different type.
Yeah.
Right? Even though I love your packaging. I think it's very aesthetic.
And it is nice like to see it. Like even like walking into the Life Cafes. Like I work from like some of the Life Cafes here. And it's nice to sit, get work done, but also, like, at the same time, see who's interacting with the product and, like, going up to them and being like, what drew you to this? Like, I'm one of the co-founders. Oh, and people are awesome. Like, what? I'm like, yeah, no, it's fun. And then, like, a lot of the instructors, I go to Lifetime myself, kind of creating that community also within, like, where we're sold and stuff like that. It's important. And getting feedback, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Well, I'd love to hear, too, about your manufacturing process. What was your sort of I mean, obviously, you started with making bars in your kitchen.
Yeah.
How did you sort of transition to obviously having a manufacturing partner, et cetera?
Yeah, we honestly, like, just started researching a bunch of places. At the time, I was in San Diego, and my co-founder was in Colombia. And so I was like, okay, we can obviously travel. One, it's important to tour all the facilities.
Yeah.
Also, one of the biggest things that, like, as I was learning through all this, and it's something that I'm still learning, obviously, but making sure that, like, the minimums that, like, the co-packers are asking for made sense, right? Starting off, like, with really high minimums, like, I was like, that's not going to work for us. Like, although this facility looks so amazing, like, I needed to start on the smaller end. And then what we did was we found a bunch of different ones, and all the meetings that we went to, we brought the product that we were making and like the ingredients we were using. Obviously, there's a big shift when it goes from like small scale to like larger scale, right? We ended up finding one on the West Coast, and we did that because I was out there at the time. So I wanted a place where I could easily go to, especially like with like initial meetings and like initial productions. And I go out there a good amount now, but like it was easier at that time, and it was like a really good focus point. So yeah, it was all about the research and asking the questions, but like asking other people what they were asking their co-packers too, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think that's extremely important. I feel as like you've
yeah,
created this community too, all the way from the people that are consuming the product all the way to like manufacturing. And I know that there's a ton of, you know, bars, protein bars in the market right now. How do you, I guess, differentiate on a more practical level in terms of getting the bars with like awareness and the actual sales? I know you mentioned being transparent and being clean, but do you really market like the clean aspect of the product? What do you focus on when you're telling people about it?
Yeah, I think we focus on a couple different things. So I feel like for us, it's really important to get the product in front of people, and both online and in person. Mm-hmm. And having them try it, I feel like that's the biggest thing. And then when it comes to how we're different, I think the biggest thing when people see us, it's like we kind of hit a lot of different pillars. There's some brands that are just vegan.
Yeah.
So it's like being vegan, keto, and gluten-free. People are like, whoa. So I think having that, and also I think something that we've done in the past, like Expo West happens every year in March. We did like a little waffle bar So we showcase like how you can make like little waffles with the product. So I guess it's just like showcasing it, but at the same time kind of building a sense of community around it. Mm-hmm. We've also done little cookbooks. So it's like, they're like little booklets that we give out to like our customers. And basically it has a bunch of different recipes with our story attached to it, right? Yeah. So just like different ways. And I feel like we're constantly learning. And I feel like there's always a shift happening of like what people are focusing on. Like, and I feel like for us, it's just like a product that you can easily take anywhere. And people obviously like it because you don't have to refrigerate it. You could just throw it in your bag and like take it anywhere. And also like as an office snack, like you could just keep bars at your desk, you know?
For sure. No, it's great. Obviously, I mean, I love like your mission. I love that it's really focused on clean ingredients. It tastes good and convenient. Where would you like love to see your company go? Would you want to expand the product line? Do you see it becoming like, you know, I don't know, a larger health and wellness lifestyle brand? Like, where would you love it to be?
Yeah. So I think retail. So like really focusing on expanding and getting into different retailers. There's a lot of different retailers that we have in mind that would be perfect for the product. So the convenience of people going in and kind of just grabbing it, that's one aspect. And then another aspect is expanding the SKUs. So we're working on expanding the R&D side of it. So we have a couple things that we're working on that I'm really excited about. And yes, I think from the beginning when Marcel and I started, with the name, we wanted it to be short, sweet, and also tied back to us. So we were like, okay, we're the two and two fit. So that's where like the whole name came from. And we were like, okay, we want to say brands because we want to essentially have different product lines, and focus on the mission of it all, but creating kind of like different types of products. Like, yes, we started with protein bars and bites, but like, there's so many different things that we also want to focus on to expand the company as a whole.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. And we love that it's a female-founded brand. Your co-founder is also a female. Tell us a little bit about, I guess, working with your family. How is that dynamic?
It's honestly so great. It's kind of funny because sometimes, like, her and I, she lives down in Miami with my brother. And so sometimes my brother will call me and be like, hey, like, have you heard from Marcel? I'm like, yeah, I just got off the phone with her. He's like, sometimes I feel like you talk to her more than I do. And I'm like, yeah. I mean,
we work together, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. I feel like it's such a learning lesson. And I feel like I kind of grew up in that atmosphere because my parents have always worked with each other. And like my brother and like we have an accelerator down in Colombia. So it's a whole family business too. Wow. So I feel like we all kind of, my brother and I grew up in that. Yeah. So we kind of know when to kind of talk family, talk business. Sometimes it's a little bit of both, but I feel like it's important to kind of set those boundaries because then at the end of the day, it'll all turn into business, right? Mm-hmm. So then it's like really important. And also like when we were getting started, like they were just dating at the time. So we also had that conversation of like what could happen, right? And her and I always said like, no matter what happens, like communication is going to be everything. So like if you're feeling a certain way or if I'm feeling a certain way, like it's important to communicate, whether it's the business or like our friendship and like her and I being sister-in-laws, you know? Mm-hmm. So like I think just setting a good boundary, having good conversations and communications. And obviously like things change at times, right? Like,
totally.
And it's normal, it's part of life. But I feel like that has been something that like we're constantly learning too.
Totally. And especially the fact that you guys obviously live in different places and it seems like you've lived in different places the whole time.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like conducting this remote, like pretty much two-person operation, obviously they're employees and things, but how have you been able to kind of keep that communication healthy with this dynamic too?
Yeah.
It's really hard.
I think it's just, again, like trying to be transparent. It is nice though, like I get to go down there, she gets to come up here. Yeah. So it is, and we see each other like a good amount, like every holiday we're together, birthdays, like, so we do make the time to be in person. And like when we are together in the same place, like we're very intentional on like what we really need to focus on and get done. And then I think it also works because like we get to we're constantly talking, but also it's like we are delegating different things. So then it's like having that communication of like, okay, you're focusing on this, I'm focusing on this. Like, how can we come together? Like, what are we getting done? What do we need? How can we like really grow and like essentially build on that communication that we have? I think it's also nice to be in different places because then she's also at the same time kind of like analyzing a whole different market. Yeah. And it kind of gives us like a little bit of like, I don't know, different viewpoints too.
Sample
like
sample sizes.
Yeah. And like her and I are very different, but we have a lot of similarities. So like she has a legal background too. So like she's very like real, not like realistic, but like kind of, she's kind of more grounded in a way. Yeah. So like the way she thinks is like very much like it's this or that versus me. I'm like very creative and like have that background. So we kind of balance each other out in different ways. So like it does help when it comes to like a lot of the stuff and like the operational things in the business. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good balance.
Did you ever think about starting it by yourself or from the beginning it was always you want to start with
Marcella? I think I always wanted to have a company ever since I was little. What sector? I had no idea, to be honest. I just always knew I wanted to have something. And then how things started mapping out with her and I, it was just so organic that I was like, okay, it makes sense. And again, I was like, we balance each other out. She has a lot of like characteristics that I don't have that like help, right? And like she brings stuff to the table, I bring stuff to the table, and it's just nice to have that. So I think, yes, I always kind of wanted to have something, but everything kind of just happened, and I wouldn't have wanted it any other way, you know?
Totally. I'm very pro co-founder. Yeah. I think it's good. I mean, like no one can do everything, and it's also like it's obviously the entrepreneurial journey is so challenging.
Yeah, it's lonely sometimes.
It's lonely. For sure. There's a lot of ups and downs, and it's good to just have like a partner in crime. You know, it is. I think, and it has been shown that like solo founders are usually less successful. So
it's crazy.
Yeah,
like, I think surrounding yourself too, like really getting a sense of community. So like community within the business, but also like your own personal community.
Yeah.
And learning from them, like being friends with other founders or like different investors to make sure that like, I don't know, it kind of helps you. It gets, at least for me, it gets my creative juices flowing and I'm able to bounce off ideas with other founders to be able to see what could, what they're looking at could benefit like the business and like maybe it kind of just gets you out of the box a little bit more.
Yeah. And how do you find other founders and grow your network, especially in a city like New York?
Yeah. So actually, I put on events with one of my really good friends. She's in the tech space.
Oh, cool.
She has a company called Zant. Her name's Maggie.
Cool.
We hold events to bring together women founders and funders called No Pressure Networking.
Awesome.
But how that started, I actually joined an accelerator in the city called Dream Ventures.
Okay.
And it's led by Annie Evans and Kelly Arena. They're amazing. Like they're so great. I learned so much from them. Basically, it's an accelerator that walks you through like the fundraising phase, right? And how to get started, what you should be focusing on. And like attending events. I think that's really important. And what I have seen is like through the accelerator, through going to different events and now putting on events, the community gets smaller and smaller, which is honestly really, it's nice to kind of just see familiar faces and like really lean on people, right? Yeah. And have them lean on you in different ways. And I think that's very important. No matter the industry, there's always so much to learn from.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Have you raised funding?
So we did a friends and family round.
Okay, cool.
And then we're working on gearing up to raise. So like that's
amazing.
Yeah, I feel like there's so much. Mm-hmm. But it is always a learning lesson, right? So yeah.
That's awesome. So exciting.
It's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Huge deal.
Yeah, no, it's fun. So it's always like don't be scared of like pivoting, right? Don't be scared of the feedback or like asking questions. I think that's something that I've learned and continue to learn too.
Yeah, totally. from being like a gymnast, which I feel like is so disciplined and so difficult, what do you think you like? Did you learn, like, what do you think you learned that kind of helped you being an entrepreneur too, and how kind of how that connected?
I think something that I learned is like mindset is everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, the discipline of it all is crazy. And also making sure, I think something that I'm consistently learning that I'm working on overcoming is like perfectionism. A lot of gymnasts are perfectionists.
I mean, yeah.
And so I think that's been something I've actually like been working on to like work on a lot, because being a perfectionist as a founder or just in life is not the way.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard, right? And I feel like being a gymnast, it was amazing. I loved it. I love the sport. I still even go sometimes to like Chelsea Piers, like for adult gymnastics. But like, I think there's so much more to it. But I think it ties back to mindset is everything. And focusing on like whatever you're going to focus on, get it done. But also it's like, it's okay. Like, there's no thing as failure. It's always going to be a learning lesson, right? And
absolutely.
I think that shift from like perfectionism to kind of being okay with like change and stuff has been something I've been trying to work on a lot more.
Yeah, it's really hard, especially as women. I think also gymnastics too, I'm sure, obviously inspired your like fitness and health and et cetera. Whereas also like your diet was really restricted, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult transition as well. So.
Always nice. Like, I mean, looking back, I'm like, I wish I had my product, because then
I
could run the bar in, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I think that also played a good part. And I feel like my family has always just really been into health and wellness too. So like whenever I go home, like to Virginia to see them too, it's like, we always go to the gym together. Like, we always do all these, we're like very active. So like that also played a part, but then also being in the gym for like 30 hours a week, like I was consistently like, you, whatever you put in your body is a reflection of like what your outcome's going to be too. So I think that has always been something that Marcella and I always aligned with too.
For sure. I wish I had these when I was training for the marathon. I just ran it, and like, it's so hard to find a good product that's healthy and clean.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
that's a big thing. I watched the marathon is like my favorite time.
Yeah.
It's like a lovely time in New York. It's really special, New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had friends that ran it, and I was like snuck up a bar.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I wish I had this at like mile 22 when I was like dying.
Next year.
But yeah, next year.
Amazing. I think, well, we usually end on like one question we'd love to wrap up is, you know, what would you tell young girls who want to be an entrepreneur? What advice do you think you would give them?
I would say go for it. One of my favorite quotes is, it's like, How does it go? I always forget it. This is embarrassing. But it was like, shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars, right?
Yeah.
That was like engraved in my head when I was a gymnast when I was younger. And I feel like that always kind of comes back, because it's so true. Like, go for that passion of yours that you have, and you'll start learning different things. And like, again, the art of pivoting, no matter what it is. Like, you could have your mindset on one thing, just go for it, and you never know what is going to come out of it. And also give yourself some grace, because we could all use more grace in our life, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just be easy on yourself.
Yeah, this has been extremely inspiring, I feel like. Just like listening to you talk about your journey from your family, which has inspired you, to your career in athletics. This has been awesome. Can't wait to try the products. Where can we find 2Fit Brands?
Yeah, you can find us for social at 2Fit Brands, Instagram, TikTok. And then you can find us at Lifetime and our website and Amazon.
Awesome.
Great.
Okay. And then hopefully soon there'll be more retailers in the mix.
Yes. Can't wait.
And we'll definitely post you on Woman's Plane as well, and definitely promote it. We'll definitely be trying some of your product as well.
Yay.
And we just want to say thank you so much for coming, Natalia. This was an amazing episode, and thank you for listening, everyone. And also feel free to follow 2Fit Brands, follow Woman's Plane Pod, and until next time.
Thank you so much.